Blog Talk Radio. Please announce yourself.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God, that your will is done, God, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for each and every intercessor this morning, God. We thank you for the fivefold, hallelujah, God, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, Lord. Father God, continually, God, use us effectively, God. Hallelujah, God, as we reach out to the broken, God, the hallelujah, God, the ones, God, that's just been forgotten, God. We just thank you this morning, God, that your love continually shine through us, God. Father God, as you reach down, God, and snatch them out of the hands of the enemy, God. Father God, we just thank you for that this morning, God. Their lives are changed, renewed, God, restored and refreshed, Father. Father God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the lives, God, that you have touched, God, through this prayer ministry, God, near and far, God. Father God, we pray for the global outreach this morning, God, as you take this call around the world, God. We just thank you, God. We're humble, God. Hallelujah, that you would even choose us, God, for such a time as this. Lord, we pray, God, that your word reach to the deepest depths, God, of this, hallelujah, of this globe, God. Hallelujah, that some man, woman, boy, girl, God. Father God, it's just, hallelujah, praising you, God, and thanking you, God, for a word, God, that will reach them, Father. We come against any hindrances, any distractions, Father. Father God, we thank you this morning, God, as we yield, hallelujah, God, this line to you, Lord, that you will have your way, God. Hallelujah, God, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way, God. Have your way this morning, Holy Spirit. Father God, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, and we thank you for the word on today, God. Father God, as you continually teach and equip your intercessors, God. Hallelujah, God, that we know our identity, God, that you have who you have called and chosen us to be, Lord. Father God, that we may teach others, God. Hallelujah, the importance, God, of being a voice for you, Lord. Hallelujah, God, that you use us to shift the very atmospheres, Lord. Father God, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. It is our prayers today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Fivefold Conference Call. And as we do every Friday morning, we first of all allow for the participants of the call to understand that this is a fivefold conference call, and we our main focus is the fivefold gift, as stated in Ephesians 4:11-17. Nonetheless, we are in building a foundation, building the foundation from the ground up, you know, because, you know, after the many years of ministry that my wife and I have been involved in, and especially most recently since God has moved us to a more manifested aspect of the calling that he has called us to, it has become so evident that the foundation for those of us who are in church, those of us who are pursuing the things of God, is absent. It's absent. You know, you can talk to so many church members. You can talk to people who have been in church sometimes as many as 15 to 20 years, and they can't tell you why they got saved. They can't tell you They can't distinguish for you what the salvation means to them. They can't tell you what's the benefit of a life with God. They can't tell you what does it mean to be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of his dear son. They can't tell you things like that. And so in order for us to really, really, really take advantage of of all that Jesus has made affordable or made available to us. In order for us to do that properly and to be able to give ourselves to it totally, wholly, and completely, we have to understand. We have to understand. You know, everything that you get in Christianity, everything that God has made available to us so freely, you can't get it unless you believe it. And, of course, you can't believe it unless you understand it. And so the very foundation of our belief, the foundation of what Christ has done for us, the foundation of life, with respect to the human life, with respect to the human experience, all of that is based on belief system. God has designed us in such a way that we live by what we believe. We either live by what we believe or we live by things that are connected to what we believe. So we have embraced a foundational teaching that will allow for us to not only know who we are, but also understand the elementary teachings of Christianity, the elementary teachings of the kingdom, the elementary teachings of what God has made available to us in this new covenant. And so these teachings, you may not hear apostle, you may not hear prophet, you may not hear pastor, you may not hear teacher, you may not hear evangelist, but until you understand the foundational aspects of Christianity, the foundational aspects of the new covenant, foundational aspects of the kingdom of God, none of those titles, none of those callings, none of those positions mean anything. You know, they're just something that you can walk around with a label, as a label you have on your shirt or something. And to be effective in those areas, you cannot be effective in those areas until you get a fundamental understanding of what the new covenant, Christianity, what the kingdom of God makes available to us. So on yesterday, we were dealing with identity. Once again, we were dealing with identity. On Thursday mornings, we have a call for the intercessors that embrace or that participate or that look forward to understanding their call at a greater level. We have a teaching on Thursday mornings that we do. And we're in the identity of the intercessor and with respect to the identity of the new convert. And so with these teachings, this is the fifth week of the teaching, and we're going to play what we taught yesterday morning, and we'll come back and take your questions and comments, and hopefully you will get something out of this. You know, every teaching that we do, we ask you to get a notepad. We ask you to ask questions. We ask you to get involved. Be involved in this because you have to understand the importance of it. The course of this world is bombarding us. It's trying to level its influence on us 24/7. Everything we interact with, is except for the things of God, and sometimes the things of God have been tainted by the course of this world, by the system of this world. The Bible calls it the cosmos. The system of this world is designed to produce a result. And so if we don't take the Word of God seriously, if we don't take the teachings, if we don't take the things that God has made available to us, if we don't take them with the level of importance that they actually have, we are being influenced by the system of this world. And so, you know, just understanding that throughout the day, throughout the normal course of the day of each of our lives, we would be surprised to know how many different things, how many different areas, how many different avenues the system of this world is bombarding us with its influence, with its words, with its thoughts, with its purpose. And so we have to make the Word of God very important in our lives. The only way we can do that is to interact with it on a day-to-day basis, meditate on it, place it in the very forefront of our lives. And so this morning, we ask you to take notes, get involved, and please If you don't understand something, ask questions. And all you're getting, get understanding. Here's the teaching from yesterday.
As I was saying, you know, I was sharing with a young man, and we were talking about how what's the difference between Christianity and a good cognitive behavioral program, and that's just a big word for a recovery program or a self-help program or something of that nature that actually teaches you how to change your thinking in order to produce a different behavior. What's the difference between renewing your mind in the body of Christ and renewing your mind with one of these different programs? Well, you know, one, another thing that we have taught and we sincerely believe in is this. Is when you really, really think about this, when you think about the things that you consider to be good, when you think about the things that you consider to be good works, or that you consider to be things that people of God would do, when you come up with that list, when you think about that, how many of those things you could not do if you were not saved? And usually what's going to happen is you're going to come up with a baby prayer, maybe, and you can pray it as well. Now, whether or not God will hear you, but that's up to him. But, you know, if you base that upon Scripture, the Bible tells us in John, I think it's the eighth chapter. If you read the eighth chapter, you'll find out that it was one viewpoint that God doesn't hear those who are not saved. I wouldn't venture off to say that God doesn't hear you if you're not saved. But to continue what I was saying, you know, what are those things that you've done since you've been saved that you could not do before you got saved? And you'll find out that there's very little things that you can't do in either place. You know, there are people who live better morally than a lot of Christians. Now, there are people who live more disciplined lives than a lot of Christians. So, what's the difference? What's the difference? I mean, is there a difference? Well, let me ask you this. We tend to look at the behavior of a person to determine whether or not. See, this is a perfect example of what I was talking about. So, if you just got on the call, please hit *6 on your phone, and that's going to mute your side of the call, and we will not be able to hear your atmosphere or your environment, but you will still be able to hear the call. Thank you so much. As I was saying, you know, when you think about that, we tend to look at the behavior of a person, or we tend to look at what the person is presenting to us to determine whether or not the person is good, is a good person or a bad person. And really, with respect to Christianity, that has really very little bearing. Because God does not determine whether or not we are accepted or we are converted based on our behavior. God doesn't determine that based on our behavior. The previous teachings, and if you have any questions concerning that, you can always give us a call or shoot us a text, and we will give you the reference numbers for the previous teaching that we had. We have proven through the Word of God that sin is no longer God's concern. Once you become saved, sin is not God's major focus. God's major focus at the point in which you are converted, at the point in which you are born again, is purpose. God's major major focus is first the kingdom. That's his primary concern. Why the kingdom? Because the kingdom gives you purpose. The kingdom gives you a focal point. The kingdom allows for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's just that simple. The kingdom, once you become a kingdom citizen, you are now the very tool that God uses to cause his will to be seen in the earth and for him to have his rule in the earth as he does in heaven. Now, so because we focus in on behavior, because we tend to determine whether a person is good or bad based on behavior, we seem to not think about the fact that, guess what? This is God's creation. It's not man's creation. It's God's declaration. It's not man's declaration. It is God who has the authority, and whomever he gives the authority to carry out his will or his plan or his purpose in the earth is the only person who is legally or who has the legal right to be able to exercise authority over the earth. So therefore, when God declares us to be a sinner in Adam, it's only God who can declare us to be righteous. So whether or not my behavior is measures up according to a human standard or according to what this person thinks or that person thinks has really no bearing on how God sees me. And unless I meet the conditions that God has set forth for me to remove the sin declaration that he placed on my life and replace it with a righteousness declaration on my life, I have no way of being able to be rid of my sin nature. And so we've proven that with previous calls, and so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that today. But what we are going to do today is we're going to talk a little bit more about identity. And one of the things that we have to realize is identity is what gives us authority, okay? Identity is what gives us authority. Well, you say, well, what do you mean by that? Okay, well, it's kind of like having a good kid, having a responsible child, having a child that you have made a serious imprint on. You can see that everything that you have taught that child is being reflected in that child's behavior. You say, well, okay, he is doing exactly what I taught them to do. Well, it's not going to be a second thought whether or not you're going to give that child responsibilities that child has shown you they're capable of. It's not going to be a question. And that's what basically authority is. Authority is I'm giving you if I give someone the authority over my possessions, over my belongings, I'm basically saying I'm giving you the opportunity to act just like me over my belongings, over my possessions. And so when we cross over from being sinners and we're born of God and and God has declared us to be righteous, God says in his word, okay, now because you believe, I will see that as you being responsible, okay? Give me some scripture. Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Okay. And so when Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness, God allowed Abraham, guess what, to be the individual that all nations of the earth would be blessed through. So now think about that. Okay, the only one who has the ability to bless all nations is God. Well, God just declared Abraham to be the vessel that all the blessings that would flow through all the nations of the earth would come through. Okay, now think about that. Think about that. All right. So now let's go into a little. Let's go more focused into the identity. Well, we're going to start off this morning. We're going to start off with Genesis 1 and 25. Genesis 1 and 25. You have your Bibles. Genesis 1 and 25. Genesis 1 and 25. Okay. Genesis 1 and 25. Okay. Now, all right. Now, the reason that we're going here is to show that after God created everything, okay, except for man, okay, after God created everything in his creation, what he did was he gave man authority over it. So basically what God did was God gave man the ability to act like him over all his creation. Okay? So now think about that. Think, just let that sink in. Okay, God whoever it was who became a part of the call, we'd ask everyone to hit *6 on their phone to mute their side of the call, so therefore our recording can be clean and clear and everyone else can hear, and we don't have to hear the background noise. Thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate that. Okay. Now, Genesis 1 and 25. Now, we see God made everything, and then he turned everything that he created over to the authority of man, and he basically said, okay, now, I am giving you the responsibility to act like me over everything that I've created, okay? Now, how does man act like God? Well, in one sense, we say God, man was created in God's image. That's one way. But what does that image look like? What does that image reflect? What does that look like? Okay, now, the Bible says it like this, verse 25, and it's just the conclusion of everything that he made, and we're going to go into where he gives man dominion. He says, and God made man of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Okay, so now, what's left? There's nothing left. Because when he said over all the earth, that means over everything concerning the earth. We look at verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. Now, this is giving us the ability to be able to reproduce after our own kind. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, okay? Subdue it means understand everything about it and bring it under your subjection, okay? And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the poverty and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, that's the dominion that was given before the fall. Now, let's go to Genesis 2. Go to Genesis 2 and go to verse, and go to verse 19. 2 and 19, okay? 2 and 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Now, notice, this is a repeat of what we just read in 25. And over the fowl of the air brought them unto Adam to see what, guess what? To see what Adam would call them. Not to tell Adam what to call them, to see what Adam would call them. Okay, so when I say God gave man dominion over the earth, to act like his representative, he gave man authority over all the earth to do what? To be a small god over the earth, because God didn't tell anybody what and how to make something. God stood and God said, and that's what it was. Now, God spoke to himself literally to make man. He spoke this let us make man. Now watch this. Okay. Now, he formed the father and he brought him unto Adam to see what Adam was called him. To see if Adam realized he could act like God. Okay. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a meat for him. Now, when we look at this, Adam acted like God. But it doesn't say Adam went to the dust of the ground. It doesn't say Adam slung the stars in the sky. It doesn't say Adam made the clouds in the sky. It doesn't say Adam made the trees. It says Adam said. What Adam said, the creature was, that's what the creature became. And in the Hebrew, it literally means what Adam said they became. So Adam's ability to act like God was when Adam said. Therefore, it makes it clear for us to understand how the power of life and death is in the tongue. Well, who has the power of life and death? God does. So the way that we act like God is with our tongue. Does that mean I roll around my tongue in my mouth? No. It doesn't mean I roll around my tongue in my mouth because the power of life and death is in the tongue. That doesn't mean when I roll my tongue around in my mouth. What that literally means is, as in one translation, where the Bible says that, and man became a living soul in verse 7 of chapter 2, it literally says, and man became a spirit. And man became a speaking spirit. Now, guess what? Man became a speaking spirit because God is a speaking spirit. And in the image of God was man created. So the power of life and death being in the tongue is the power of man to act like God. Okay? So at this point in time, man is declared a son of God, an offspring of God, a duplicate of God in that image, okay? Now, we are talking about identity. And so because we're talking about identity, we're going to talk about this. We're going to go into John. We're going to go to John, St. John. We're going to go to John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter, okay? John, the first chapter. You ever want a chance to get there? Now, I want you to notice something about John. When my wife and I were, and she still is, when we were taking the college courses with respect to the gospel, when we did the, when we did the courses that we've done on the New Testament, it clearly distinguishes that each book in the gospel was written to a certain sect of people. John was written to prove the divinity of Christ. It was written to the Jewish people to prove that Christ was both God and man. Okay? And if you read it with that mindset, or if you read it looking to see whether or not that's true, you will see it. Now, that's not our point today, but I just felt the need to just make that statement, okay? Now, I'm ahead of myself here. Let's go to verse 1. I went to another chapter here. Not verse 1. Let's go to verse 12. Verse 12, okay? Now, verse 12 says it like this. But many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So, wait a minute. In Genesis 1 and 2, we see man already a son of God, an offspring of God, acting like God, okay? But after Adam fell, man no longer had the ability to act like God with respect to the spiritual realm. Okay? With respect to the spiritual realm. But man had the ability, because God gave him the authority in the earth, God didn't change his mind. God didn't change his mind. Now, the Bible says that God doesn't change his mind. His word never changes. So when God gave man dominion over the earth, man still has dominion over the earth. But man, after the fall, was no longer connected to God, reflecting God's glory, reflecting God's power, and reflecting God's ability. But nonetheless, man still had dominion over the earth because God never his mind. Okay? And according to the fall, when the fall takes place, there's a law that's in Romans that says, whomever you yield your members to obey becomes your master. I will give you that reference right there so you can check it out for yourself. Yield your members to obey, becomes your master. Yield your members to obey, becomes your master. That's in Romans. I think it's the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter, I think it's the 13th verse. And you can read this in your own reading time. But it says it like this: whomever you yield your members to obey becomes your master. Well, when Adam and Eve yielded their members to follow Satan became their master. So the dominion that man had, because Satan became man's master, man had that dominion. Satan had the dominion over man because he became man's master. So therefore, man fell from being a son of God to a son of the devil. Okay? Now, whomever you yield your members to obey becomes your master. That is Romans, the 6th chapter, from the 13th verse on down. Now, we're in John, 1st chapter, says, all right, now, but as men have received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So the believers are the sons, okay? The believers are the sons. So now let's go on a little bit further. Let's go on to 1 John. St. John wrote 1 John, okay? We're going to start there in chapter 3, verse 1. Now, we're talking about the identity of the intercessor. The identity of the intercessor. Okay, now, starts out, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called, there go that phrase again, the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now, if you paid attention to what we read in in St. John, you will see the verse right before the verse we read. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. See that? See, now, he comes back and he makes the same statement. He says, therefore the world knoweth us not, because what? It knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, so the believer becomes the son of God. The believer becomes the son of God. So we talk extensively about the transition between being saved and not being saved. We talked extensively, I think it was the last two calls, we talked about how once you're saved, you're no longer a sinner. How once you're saved, you have to renew your mind. How once you're saved, your desires change. How once you're saved, you actually have Christ on the inside of you, and you are on the inside of Christ. So this tells us that we are now put back in the place of authority as we was before the fall. Okay? So now the question becomes, what's the point? The point is the same authority that I had before the fall, once I received Christ, I now have again. Okay? I now have again. And so, as being a person who has been given the authority, what is my responsibility? Well, you know what? Just like God brought the animals to Adam to see what Adam would call them. Why? Because God wanted Adam to set the atmosphere up where he was the way that he desired it to be set up. Well, you say, well, Adam desired to be set up? Yes, because Adam was a reflection of God. Guess what? Just like we are now. And so when the Bible says that he will give us the desires of our heart, that doesn't mean whatever I can come up with in my mind that becomes a desire of mine, he will give it to me. No, it literally means the thought that becomes your desire, he has given to you. So how many of us know when the scripture says, because we have prayed according to his will, we know we have received what? Our petition. Let me go ahead and give you that scripture. We ask anything according to his will, we have our petition. We receive our petition. 1 John 5:14. If we ask anything according to his will. So now watch. Picture this. Okay. Now, this is what we talked about in the past, and now you have to see this in your mind. Okay. Now, I've received Christ. I've had a real experience with Christ. I've received him. He's come to live on the inside of me. I'm on the inside of him, and he's on the inside of me. Okay. So now, as we said in the previous call, the Holy Spirit is prompting me to what? To carry out my purpose in the earth. So as I renew my mind, I recognize that it's the Holy Spirit in me that's causing these thoughts that I'm having to do these certain things that God wants me to do. So now, think about it like this, okay? So now, if the Holy Spirit is giving me thoughts to do these things, God's desire is being expressed through the Holy Spirit. So when the Bible says he gives me the desires of my heart, what it's saying is, through the Holy Spirit, he's prompting thoughts that becomes desire that's in my heart. And so those desires are his desires. And so because they are his desires, what is he going to do? Is he going to say no to himself? No, because God is about his purpose. So as these desires become thoughts, and these thoughts come to my mind, and I recognize that these thoughts are from God, from my time spent in understanding the Word of God, recognizing that I'm a son of God, and what he's asking me to do, I am well capable of doing. I am carrying out his desire. So therefore, the scripture that says he gives me the desires of my heart, I can see that clearly now. That's what that looks like. That looks like the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, giving me thoughts, giving me urges, giving me cravings, giving me desires that turn into what? Turn into thoughts that turn into behavior that expresses God's desire for me. Now, based off of what we've seen about Adam, the way that we act like God in our greatest ability is we speak. Remember, we talked about being speaking spirits. We were made speaking spirits. So when the Holy Spirit prompts me after I spend time in the Word, getting an understanding of the Word, I understand what God's will is in heaven. And so when I speak to make His will be done in the earth. So now, what does that have to do with my identity? Well, if you remember on last week's call, we talked about how if you don't have full assurance of who you are, when it comes time for you to speak certain things into your atmosphere to change it, you don't have the confidence that's needed to do it. But when you understand that it's God's creation, it's God's declaration, and now I am a reflection of God, and there's nothing that can stand before me. We know the scripture all so well, but we've never applied it in that sense. If God be for me, who can be against me? Now when I stand up, I have confidence, I have assurance, I have boldness to be able to speak things according to God's will and have the not only the expectation of seeing it, but don't stop until I see it. Because these are not my desires, they are His. And so because they're His desires, I can fully expect Him to carry them out. Okay? I can fully expect Him to carry those out. Now, there's something else I want to highlight when I say that Adam fell, Adam having dominion over the earth, okay? And watch this. Adam having dominion over the earth. God created the earth and gave Adam dominion over it, which means that the earth is subservient to Adam, which means that the earth has to reflect what the place that Adam is. The earth and everything on it has to be in obedience to God's word concerning Adam. Well, we know when Adam fell, we know that Adam had to die. So the same earth that was created optimally to produce in its greatest potential, at its greatest potential, God created it, everything that God created, He said it was good, so it was producing optimally. It was producing at its greatest potential. So it producing at its greatest potential, when the fall came, it could no longer do that. Because what? Death was pronounced on Adam. And so before Adam fell, the earth could produce optimally to sustain Adam for eternity, or for however long God had set forth for Adam to be on this planet. But when Adam fell, just like the water, the winds, and the waves heard Jesus say, come, and made provision for Peter to step out of the boat, when God said, Adam, when you eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must die. When the earth recognized that Adam fell, guess what? It had to prepare for Adam to die, just like the sea, the wind, and the wave had to prepare for Peter to step on. Okay? So now, consider that. Consider that. What's your point, Brother Jackson? My point is what we'll find in Romans, the 8th chapter. What we'll find in Romans, the 8th chapter. Okay? Now, Romans the 8th chapter also deals with identity as well, okay? Deal with identity as well. Now, we're going to start at the 14th verse. start at the 14th verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Okay. Now, when we talked about being, we talked about receiving Christ. We talked about Christ being on the inside of us. We being on the inside of Him. We talked about the Holy Spirit prompting us and the necessity for our minds to be renewed. So when He prompts us, He recognizes it as being God's desire, and we carry that desire out. That is what being led by the Spirit is. So the Bible comes back and declares to us that what? As many as are led, or as many as are being prompted, as many as are yielding to this process, they are the sons of God. Okay. Now, it goes on to tell us, for we have not received the Spirit of bondage. Again, we have not received the Spirit of bondage. Again. So that lets us know that during the fall, we received the Spirit of bondage. So when Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, Jesus is talking about from that bondage. That bondage. Which bondage? The bondage that would cause you to die. The bondage that would cause you to fear. Notice the verse. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father, which means we know our father, who our father is, and we identify with being a son. We identify with being a son. Now, check this out. See, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, causing us to have a cry to our Father, and our Father is sending us what our assignments are, what He created us to do, and carrying out His will in the earth as it's being done in heaven. Okay. Now, if children, then heirs, and God, joint heirs with Christ, if so, suffer with it, that we may also glorify. Now, for I reckon the present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, this is focused in on this. For the earnest expectation of the waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, now, remember, we just talked about the bondage, and I think we're going to have to stop in the next couple of minutes. I'm about to wrap this up. After this verse here, we're going to open the floor up for questions and comments. Now, watch this. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, what is the creature? What is the creature? The creature is describing all that was subject to the bondage. Well, what was subject to the bondage? Everything, because everything was created for man. And so when man fell, everything came under bondage, which prevented it from producing optimally or producing at time potential the way that it was created to produce. So it had to now be bound, it had to now fall under bondage and not produce at a level that would sustain man for eternity, but now at a level that would actually contribute to man's death. That's why we see death in everything. The food is killing us, the meat is killing us, this is killing us, that is killing us, because all those elements heard the voice of God. Going on a little bit further. Now, the creature is alive. So the earth is alive. The trees are alive. Everything in God's creation is reflecting the life in God. God created it because it came out of God. Okay? So because it's subject to bondage means that it has a harness on it. It cannot produce at its greatest potential. So now watch this next verse. That vanity is what caused the bondage. Not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. That is alluding to God who subjected man, guess what? To sin, to the ability to sin. In hope, not hope, I hope he's not going to sin. In hope, I hope he's going to do the right thing. No, in hope, earnest expectation, the same earnest expectation that is mentioned above, to what can carry out his plan and his purpose, because Jeremiah 9 and 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you to bring you to an expected end. So when God says in Isaiah, I speak the end from the beginning, his end was what his hope was in this particular verse. Well, what you're saying, Charles, what are you saying, Brother Jackson? What are you saying, Pastor Jackson? What I'm saying is, when God subjected Adam to sin, God already had a plan for the end. So his plan for the end involved Adam subjected to sin. So now let's go on a little bit further. Okay, now, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. See that? Glorious liberty, glorious freedom of the children of God. So the children of God are free, and guess what? All of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be manifested so they can live off of it. So therefore, it's joy what? Producing optimally.
Yeah.
What do you say? Oh, where did you get that from, Brother Jackson? We'll read this a little bit first. For we know that the whole creation, see that, groaning into the bitterness and pain together until now. Why? Why? And not only that, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We ourselves groan, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For guess what? Why are we groaning? Because these shells are holding us bound to a decay and that has death pronounced on it. So as long as Adam is still in the earth, everything has to produce death. But when we are redeemed and taken out of the earth, and God redoes the earth, the earth will reflect the life that it had before the fall. We're going to pick.
Well, I stopped the call there because I was just about to say we'll pick up with this in the next teaching. But any questions or comments? Any questions?
This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Well, that was exciting. Any more questions or comments? Well, just to let you guys know, we are steadily marching forward toward identity, to an identity that produces full assurance, that produces a boldness like never seen before. Just continue to connect, continue to fill your heart up with the Word of God, continue to fill your heart and mind up with the Word of God, with the unadulterated Word of God, understanding that God has created us in such a way that we are to reflect His authority, His dominion, over everything that's on the earth, including ourselves. So we just invite you to continue to come on the call, continue to walk in God, continue to pursue the things of God. And what you're going to find out, that the Word of God, you, your mind being renewed to the Word of God, renewed to the understanding that comes with the Word of God, your mind being renewed to that, it is going to produce a level of boldness where when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do, to say, to present God in atmospheres where God is not seen, it will literally change the atmosphere right before your eyes. We thank you so much for participating on the call. Sweetheart, if you don't mind, close us out in prayer. And we will see you guys next Friday or next Thursday on the 5-fold conference call.
Yes, Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for each and every participant. We thank you, Lord, that your word will not return void. Father God, have your way in each of our lives, Lord, as we stand in the identity, God, that you have given us as your sons and your daughters, God. Father God, that your manifestation, God, shall come forth, God. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you today, God, as we go into this weekend, Lord. Father God, we pray, God, that you will, as we face the election times in our cities, God, that you would give us the mindset, God, to make righteous judgments and decisions, God. Father God, as you raise up your people, Lord. And Father God, we thank you for a victorious campaign, God, for all of those, God, hallelujah, that you have chosen, God. Hallelujah, God, that they will lead your people, God, with righteous indignation, God. And we thank you right now, Lord. We thank you for this call. We thank you for the leaders on this call. And we thank you for each and every participant. Have your way in our lives is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all have a great weekend. Amen.
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 Amen.